and welcome to our first SpudSmart webinar of 2018. Today, we'll be looking at the importance of starting with healthy potato seed. My name is Janet Canters, and I'm the editor of SpudSmart magazine and spudsmart.com. Today, I'll be serving as your moderator. First, I'd like to thank our sponsors today, McCain Foods and BASF, for their support. I'd also like to note a few housekeeping items. This webinar is being recorded, and it will be made available on spudsmart.com following the event. For audio quality purposes, all microphones have been muted with the exception of speakers. We welcome your input, however, so if you have a question or comment, please share it in the chat box on the bottom left side of your screen and let us know to whom your question is directed. Today we have two speakers who will talk about the importance of starting with healthy potato seed. Dr. Stephen Johnson is a crop specialist and extension professor with the University of Maine, and Sean Pelkey is manager of agronomy with McCain Foods in Grand Falls, New Brunswick. Okay, Sean, if you want to take it away from here.
All right, thanks, Janet. Hopefully everybody can hear me okay. I just wanted to first start off by saying hello to everyone, and I appreciate the opportunity to speak today on this webinar. First things I'm going to cover are, just a little brief introduction of what I'm going to cover in this presentation. I'll first look at how is healthy seed determined. I'm going to focus on New Brunswick. Why is it so important to use high quality seed? So how do growers find the perfect seed stock? What growers can expect when planting poor quality seed? And then I'm going to get into the concept of using whole seed and look at opportunities, advantages, the challenges with whole seed, and then I will talk about some of our trial results here in New Brunswick and Maine. So, in New Brunswick, how is healthy seed determined? So, seed can be multiplied for 7 field generations. That does not include the greenhouse, so I'm only talking field generation. So, CFIA conducts 2 visual inspections during the growing season. Normally one when the plants are 10 to 15 inches high, and then one later on in the season before top kill. And so each seed lot must meet certain standards for each field generation. So as you can see from this table, is you see the 7 field generations. Normally Elite 3 and Elite 4 is currently what we're mostly using for processing here in New Brunswick. So in the first column, we have disease tolerances, first inspection. We have varietal mixture, first inspection. Then we have disease tolerance, second inspection, and varietal mixture, second inspection. And as you can see across this table, the numbers are higher for the first inspection compared to the second inspection. And, you know, so basically what this means is that if there is an issue during the first field inspection, then the Canadian Food Inspection Agency will expect the grower and his crew to fix that before the second inspection. So this is normally done by roguing, where the farm manager or owner and a staff would walk the field and remove any disease or variety mixes that are in the crop. So after final field inspection, if for each class, if they meet the tolerances that are in this table, then the seed will then be passed on and will be considered okay. So in New Brunswick, we currently have a cap of 4%, a virus cap of 4% in New Brunswick. This has been in place for about 4 or 5 years. Cap is not always at 4%. This is determined on a yearly basis, depending on seed supply and virus results from all the seed lots that have been tested. Samples are collected at harvest and must be supervised. Seed lots must be post-harvest tested at an accredited lab, so they cannot just go anywhere. They have to go to a lab that has been accredited. In New Brunswick, we have the Agriculture Certification Services, which is ran by Mr. Singh. And no seed can be replanted if the post-harvest comes back at 4%, greater than 4%. But there is a chance if the seed lot is within 3%, so plus minus 7%, then the seed lot can be retested. If it's above 7%, then the seed cannot be retested. So if your seed lot does come in above 4%, there is a chance less than 7, it can be retested. But if not, then that's it. There's no chance that the seed can be replanted in your front. So the importance of using high quality seed. So using the best quality seed available is the foundation of growing a high quality top yielding crop. This to me is a very important statement, and Steve would probably say that the seed is the cornerstone of the potato production, and I totally agree. You know, it will ensure a healthy plant stand, plant health, and yield potential is maximized, which is the key word there, is maximized. Because no management practice can compensate for planting seed that is high on virus, bacterial, and fungal diseases. So how do growers find the perfect seed stock? This is also very important, and I often think it's often overlooked. Growers need to be very proactive. You know, as soon as you know what you need for class or volume of seed, it's very important to start looking for that class and volume. Start making phone calls, look around for the seed. You know, frequent communication with the seed supplier is a must. Again, I don't think that a lot of processing growers or table growers will, they get their seed in the spring, and besides that, they don't ask any questions. Another key point. You know, and you know, it's also, I think it's also very important to visit the grower during the growing season. You know, visit at harvest. You know, visit at storage. Make sure you're 100% confident in the seed supply that you're going to be receiving. So, what can growers expect when planting poor quality seed? Here's just a picture here in New Brunswick where you can see where there's definitely an issue with emergence of seed pieces. So you can basically expect poor plant stand emergence. You know, you're going to have high variation in plant emergence. It's not going to be very uniform. You're going to decrease your desired stem numbers, which I will talk about a little bit later in this presentation. You're going to have seed piece decay, and if virus levels are high, will also limit yield potential. These are all things that we're trying to avoid and why we want to be proactive to make sure that we avoid these issues each year. So now I want to get into the concept of using whole seed. This is something that Keynes is looking at very closely. Whole seed has been widely used in other potato growing regions throughout the world for many years. Not so common here in North America, although it's starting to gain a little bit of traction. So whole seed is gaining more recognition. So the growers are looking to avoid seed cutting costs, minimize disease incidence, and of course, increase yield. So what are the possible advantages of using whole seed? Well, these are just a few, but I think some of the more important ones. We have less handling by the end user. There's reduced cost of seed cutting. You know, operations will say it's between $2 and $3 a hundredweight to cut the seed. You reduce seed waste, again, depending on seed lots and mother tuber size and cutter, plant cutter accuracy, looking at 2 to 5% waste. We have increased planter accuracy when we're using whole seed. We do planter evaluations, and, you know, the desired space plus minus 3 inches always for whole seed. We have more seed pieces in that desired range of plus minus 3 inches compared to cut seed. So what we're kind of, we don't exactly know why that is, but one thought is that when the seed hits the ground, if it's whole seed, it moves similarly each time the seed hits. So it's more uniform movement once the seed hits the ground compared to cut seed, which has many different surfaces depending on how it lands. It could bounce forward, it could bounce back. So that's one of our thoughts. We also have reduced odds of seed infection by passing, again, no cut surfaces. We can maybe even plant the seed earlier depending on growing conditions. We achieve achieve plant stands of more uniform size and stem numbers. So what we're seeing with the whole seed is more uniform emergence and more uniform growth throughout the year. And then I think the most important one, the big one, is the trials that we've conducted the last couple of years. We're seeing a yield increase of at least 10% whole seed versus cut seed. But there's also some challenges as well. This is a total shift from our current seed production system. There's very few acres in New Brunswick of seed that's actually being produced for whole seed. And it's not something that can change overnight due to the multiple field generations. This is something that takes many years to move to a whole seed system. There's increased seed prices. Numbers currently we're seeing is $3 a hundredweight more for whole seed. Infrastructure is an issue. We don't have the storage facilities in place that has the multiple bins. Whole seed sizing capabilities are also very huge. Currently, there's not a whole lot of sizing capabilities going on at the seed level, and it makes it very difficult to plant the seed at the appropriate spacing to get our desired stem number. So these are some challenges that are not easy, but you know, I think we need to look at these because of all the possible advantages that there are with whole seed. So I just touched on infrastructure a little bit, but here is just an example of a new storage that was that's been put up in Australia. You can see it doesn't look like any of our seed storages around here. This would probably be a box storage, so it would have multiple bins, do multiple sizes, to supply the processing grower the correct size seed that they're looking for their order. Sizing capabilities. Here's just a couple pictures of our farm in Scotland. You can see the different capabilities as you look down through the pictures. So there's multiple screens for different sizing. So they're able to size from 30 mils up to 60 mils, 65 plus mils. So they're making sure that they're getting the correct seed size to the correct operation at the correct spacing. So here is a table that I just wanted to touch on briefly. This is a table that looks at estimated yield based on greater than 6 ounce tubers for Russet Burbank. And this comes from Eric Allen, who's retired director at Cambridge University. Eric is also a consultant that I deal with quite regularly. And he's really opened my eyes up to looking at tuber population and stem numbers, not just plant numbers. So what we're seeing here is you see the tuber population in 100,000. So you have 110,000 at the top all the way down to 200,000. And then you have your total yield, 100 weight per acre, in red as well. So basically, to use this table, you have to have a pretty good idea of what your anticipated yield is for that crop in that field. So it's very important to know your field history and you know what variety you're going to be putting in that field. But just to do an example, if we take an average of 400 hundredweight, then get 264 hundredweight of greater than 6 ounces, we would need approximately 110,000 tubers in that acre. So just to kind of do some quick math on how we kind of come up with that number. So at Russet Burbank, if we're planting at 16-inch spacing at 36-inch rows, that's just under 11,000 plants an acre. And if we can estimate three stems per plant, that gives us a little over 32,000 stems. And then from that number, we can estimate, you know, 3 to 3.5 tubers per stem. You know, we're in the 106,000 number. So that's kind of what we're trying to base our crop numbers on, is start, okay, what is our end goal? How what is the best way to get that? And this table, I thought it was very interesting to kind of look at that, because when we planted some whole seed in 2017, we used the same spacing as our cut seed at 16 inches, and the whole seed wasn't sized, so we had a very big variation in whole seed sizes. We did our plant stands and whatnot, stems and plant stands, we actually were closer to 180,000 tubers per acre. So it's something that we need to look at further and do some more work on, and I'll touch on that here in a little bit. So here is a seed recommendation from today. Again, this is what I thought was very interesting when I met with Colin Aaron, who was a colleague with McCain's. He looks after the McCain's operation in Scotland. They do it on a tuber count in kg. So they take a 10 kg bag, they count the tubers and make it up, and you'll see that the larger or the smaller the number of tubers, the smaller the plant population, but yet the more hundredweight of seed it costs to grow that crop. So if you look in the red, it's kind of where we hope to be, the 2.3 to the 1.6 range. It shows us how many tubers should be in the 10 kg count, you know, what our plant population should be, and then how much hundredweight we should, as well as the spacing as well. So this isn't exact for New Brunswick, but we think it's a good starting point compared to where we are currently. So now if I look at some of our trials with Valley Farms, which is a farm owned by McCain Foods here in New Brunswick, we're going to look at Russet Burbank. And there's a certain few things I want to look at. I want to look at tubers per plant, which, you know, we're getting an increased tubers per plant, 2.4. We're getting more stems per plant, you know, by 0.8. We're getting more total yield and more marketable yield, plus 34. We're also getting a higher crop value of plus a little over 200. But yet what we're not doing, or what we haven't done yet, is we haven't maximized the 10-ounce. The 10-ounce for the whole seed is basically half of the cut seed. And again, that goes back to what I said earlier, is when we planted the whole seed at the same spacing as cut seed, we ended up with more tubers and more stems, which affected our tuber size, and we had way too many tubers per acre, as I mentioned, 180,000, when we should have been down around the 110,000 number. So these are things that we're learning as we're going. It's very positive to see the higher yields and the higher crop values and more tubers per stem, but to really maximize it at the processing level, we really have to start maximizing our 10-ounce, which we can only do by having more sizing capabilities at the seed end and then more spacing capabilities as we go planting. So this is just a trial that Lee Moreau and his staff conducted in Maine. You can see that this is based off of spacing. So we have 18 inches, 20 inches, 14 inches, and 12 inches. And as you can see, the 100 weight was highest at 20, and the tubers per plant also highest at 20. So you can see there definitely is a correlation here as well. So the tighter you get with the whole seed, it does seem to affect your yield, and it affects your tubers per plant. This is just a summary of the trials for the last 2 years. So we had 12 different trials in New Brunswick and Maine. This does not show Valley Farms, but it's commercial scale, as well as a couple plots and one strip trial. So you can see the average for these, the total 100 weight was plus 10.4. But again, as I mentioned, that the 10-ounce actual was a negative 4.2, so it went anywhere from negative 17 up to plus 11. So these are really opportunities where we can improve our spacing and managing our stem numbers in 2018. So a couple conclusions just to kind of wrap this whole seed up, is that we're definitely seeing better planter accuracy using the whole seed. We're observing more uniform emergence and plant stands with whole seed. There's a clear trend of increased tubers per plant, stems per plant, and tubers per stem. And for 2018, we are going to increase our acres of whole seed with Valley Farms, with McCain's. And we're actually going to be bringing in seed from the U.S. that was grown to be planted as whole seed, instead of current what we've been doing is just sizing out 50 mil and below that has been actually planted for cut seed, but we're using the 50 mil and below for our whole seed production. So that's basically my presentation. I don't know if there'll be due questions now, but I'll be happy to answer questions now or at the end. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Sean. What we're going to do is have questions at the end of the next presentation, which is by Steve, who will give us an in-depth look at seed basics, including physiological age and seed cutting. Go ahead, Steve.
This is Steve Johnson. I'm at the University of Maine Cooperative Extension, bringing you information today on healthy seed, the foundation of a high-quality potato crop. Physiological age is an important consideration in potato seed and producing a healthy crop as well. The potato goes through some distinct stages: dormant, young, middle age, old, and no top. These are not mathematically precise stages, but they're fairly distinct in how the potato reacts. There is some gray area that goes through between stages. Dormant seed does not sprout. This is more or less what is harvested at the at harvest time. These are gassed in some situations to try and get them to sprout for grow-out tests, but this is a dormant seed. Young seed exhibits very strong apical dominance, as seen here. One big sprout. This is the classic shepherdy that produces one stem and about a four-pound potato. Farthest from the stolen end, where is the sprout that will come out, and you can see it on the screen there. These plants will usually produce low set and large tubers, which really aren't that valuable for commercial production, maybe just for fairs. Middle-aged seed have the most apical dominance broken. All of the eyes tend to sprout at the same time, as can be seen here. This multiple stems and frequently desirable for most production. This will produce the most stems per acre that Sean spoke about. Old seed can produce a lot of sprouts, but they're spindly, they're thin, they're unthrifty. All the eyes will sprout from it and produce stems. This is a shorter growing length. Aged seed can be as much as 2 weeks shorter in growing than young seed. It produces lots of small potatoes. They're not really desirable, again, for all situations. And again, the sprouts are not robust. They tend to be thin and skinny, as you can see here. No top is the term given to physiological disorder of extremely aged seed. Functionally, the seed do not produce any sprouts above ground. A stolen forms and a tuber forms right from the seed piece. These are clearly non-productive, and they will not produce a crop of value. And physiological age progression can result from temperature stress or drought stress or simple time stress, how long they've been stored. Growing season advances the physiological age of seed, but drought trumps everything. The later the drought occurs during the growing season, the more physiologically advanced the seed will be. This is clearly more of an issue in dry land production than in irrigated production. But taking some work from Greg Porter at the University of Maine, where he looks at days to pip or sprouting of potato tubers, this happens to be russet Burbank. And you can see an average normally we're about 165 days, and this is at a 38-degree storage. And highlighted right here are 97, 96, 95, and 94. 1994 was a severe late blight year, and at that point there was no humidity turned on. The fans went full blast, and the potatoes were dried down. A lot of stress in the potatoes. 95 was the driest year on record that we've had, and at that point, we couldn't even get them healing at storage. And so this was physiologically stressed from water loss. 96 was another late blight year, and 97 was another extremely dry year. And that drought came very, very late in the season. But you can see that under the growing season stress, the tuber started sprouting in about one-third of the time. And at that point, the growing season stress, and certainly in our conditions in Maine, when we have dry conditions during late tuber fill, which would be August for us, we know we're going to have some stressed seed. The key points for physiological age are that any stress will advance the age of the potato. This includes pre-cutting, temperature fluctuation, or too much loss of water. Drought stress is shown to be the worst stress for advancing the age of the tubers, and additional stress will occur after vine burn-off and again during storage. So in some situations, you can have growing season stress, you can have storage season stress, you actually can have stress between vine kill and harvest. There's a lot of factors going into the decision to cut or not cut seed. The purpose is not to discuss them at this point, but discuss actual cutting. Size, shape, distribution of the cut seed are three very critical aspects. Warming seed before cutting. Question always comes up, at what speed that you warm it is not that critical. The idea is to avoid condensation. Warm, humid air on cold tubers can lead to condensation. Condensation on potatoes anytime is not a good thing. The larger the difference between the air and the tuber temperature, the lower the relative humidity should be. Again, if you're within a degree Fahrenheit between the temperature and the seed pile, 95%, you can get away with 95% humidity, but you aren't going to warm the seed very quickly. At 2.5 degrees, you're looking to have the humidity 85 or less, or you're going to have condensation on there. For seed cutting basics, I've got some seed pieces shown up here, a slab piece, which is too big. It's going to fall off the pick planters and knock two or three more off. It's going to slide off the cup planters, and as it goes down, it's going to knock one off as well, too. The undersized seed piece is going to be an unthrifty seed piece, probably be a double. If it's not a double, you'd probably be better with no seed piece there than one that's too tiny. The slivers, if you're getting those, the sliver eliminator should be adjusted within the seed cutter. And blind seed piece, this is going to be a factor on some varieties more so than others. And certainly the seed size can come into play when you have a tuber that has a poor eye distribution. And again, rip seed piece is an indication of a poorly adjusted or dull seed cutter. And again, I got a good seed piece because I've got to show something really nice. The what I see here is not a good seed cutting operation. I've pointed out a slab. I have a sliver. There's a rip piece. And I've got some tiny little pieces. And in this particular lot, there's too big a range between the sizes. The little tiny whole seed right here and some of the bigger seed, this wider range is not going to feed through a planter very well. At that point, when you're cutting seed, I'm looking for a distribution between 1.5 and 2 ounces. I ideally would like 70% of the seed pieces within this tight range. At this tight range, the planters are going to operate more efficiently and not have the singles and the doubles and the misses that will occur. This graph shown here is an actual seed cutter that I adjusted a number of years ago, and for some reason, I'm not sure how this big boy slipped through right here, but outside that, this is a very, very good seed distribution. Almost 70, a little over 70% are right here in the middle, and they're going to, will plant and work in the planter quite well. This is a distribution of a seed cutter when that was in need of adjustment. You can see that the average size is about 2 ounces, which was what the grower was going for. However, there was a flat distribution. There was just too much that were not within the range. A little adjustment, and particularly flow rate going into the seed cutter, produced this distribution out of the same cutter. It's got a classic bell curve around the 2 ounce middle. And again, the majority are tightly around the desired range. So I thought I would go through and show some seed lots that I find not acceptable. It's a seed lot that the seed treatment is not well distributed by the color on here. There's too big a range in the size. the shape. There is some ripped seed and that sort. This is a seed lot that I would find acceptable. The seed is just starting to pip. It's what I'd be looking to put in the ground. I recommend for our commercial growers to do so. There's some 1 and 2 cut seed here. It's all a similar size going through there. And again, this is a very good seed that the size is quite uniform through there. They're all at the same stage, and there's a lot of consistency there, and that is going to produce a more even stand because it's going to be planted more evenly. Soil temperature, this is 2015 soil temperature and another 10-plus year average in the black under it. Potatoes simply do not like growing under 50 degrees Fahrenheit. And in Maine, we wait for the temperature to be hit 50, and this is going to be a high plus a low divided by 2, a mean temperature for the day. And I use a 6-inch and not a 4-inch soil temperature measurement. And pretty much we're quite consistent year in and year out. Around the 15th to 18th of May, we cross the 50-degree line, and the seed will come out, grow, and emerge like it's supposed to. Seed that's planted down in this area where it's simply too cold have been instances where it's been 45 days to emerge, and in a year that there was very cool early, there was 23 days difference in planting and 3 days difference in emergence. So the early planting really isn't advantageous when the soil's not fit. One of the biggest issues with the soil temperature is that if the seed is warmer than the soil, it can lead to fairly poor stands. We'll get warmer seed when our soil is too cold, generally for us, planting too early. And planting seed into cold, wet soils will lead to poor stands almost always, even if you start off with a pretty decent seed lot. This is an example of seed that was put into cool, wet soil. The emergence is poor. Seed rot. There's erratic emergence. You can see some of the plants are at different sizes going through there, and that's a function of the putting in soil in too cool, wet soil. If you've got seed that's in poor condition, and it does happen, and sometimes it does get into the ground, but if it's put into very cool, wet soil, disastrous results can happen. And this is an example of that. The grower thought better of the idea after planting this area here and went back and planted here and here a week later. And the foreground with the poor emergence is a week older than the green in the back. And again, this was a straight function of soil temperature at this point. This wasn't seed lot. So my key points are to warm the seed before cutting, as long as you don't get condensation before or after. The rate at which you warm it up is not that relevant. Adjust the seed cutter for a tight range of the cut seed. And planting seed into cold, wet soils can generally lead to poor stands. And it's not just in Maine, not just in U.S. It happens virtually everywhere. And I tell you to love your seed. Be nice to it.
Great. Thank you very much. Steve, you gave some great tips on the importance of uniform seed size when cutting. How about, can you retell us how condensation and soil conditions can have an impact on the cut seed and in turn on the crop?
Yeah, condensation is a no-no. Getting condensation on the cut seed is going to have an avenue for infection, bacterial or fungal, generally bacterial breakdown in soil. And if the soil is too cool, the potato will not heal or put a hide on itself. At that point, it's going to be open for infection. The temperature is extremely important. The soil can be too dry, as well, and where the seed can go in and it actually doesn't superize because there's not enough moisture in the soil, and it can run into problems as well there too. And under those conditions, it sits there. It does not come out of the ground because there's not enough moisture.
Okay, great. What about the physiological age? How can you predict and accurately measure seed's physiological age in a particular lot? Is there a way?
Well, you pull them out and you sprout them on your kitchen table.
Oh,
and
that's simple.
That is accurate. Generally speaking, if you talk to where the seed was grown, the grower, about the growing conditions, it will give you a heads up. And again, if we run into a drought stress in my area, our seed will be noticeably more aged. And how it's handled and whether it's pre-cut and whether it should be desprouted are all, you know, play off that.
Yeah, okay. In your presentation, you also indicated drought was the worst stress factor for advancing the physiological age of potato seed. You mentioned a couple more. Can you tell us those again?
Yes, temperature fluctuations. Our current storages are fantastic. We're looking at less than a degree top to bottom, side to side. There are some times when, you can have some equipment failures or older storages that are hopefully getting, out of business, but having a temperature fluctuation going up and down 3 to 5 to 7 degrees on a weekly basis or cyclical basis will stress the crop.
Okay.
Not enough moisture, too much water loss will stress the crop, and keeping them too warm, keeping them at 45 or 50. If you pull out seed from a processing storage, assuming you can sprout if it's gas, it is very, very aged, and it produces very small tubers.
Okay. Okay. Thanks, Steve. Sean, I have a couple of questions for you. So what about nicking the whole seed to speed up sprouting?
So when you talk about nicking, are you talking about green sprouting, or what exactly do you mean by nicking?
That's a good question. It came from one of our listeners. Why don't you give us both the
With whole seed, one thing we do notice is that it does sometimes emerge slower than the cut seed. And the cut seed, when you are cutting the seed, it will, it does, break dormancy and speed up physiological age of the seed. And where you're not doing that with whole seed, at times it does seem to emerge slower. But we have not been doing anything to the whole seed at this stage to, we're basically trying to handle it the same as the cut seed as of today.
Okay. One of the questions I asked earlier when you were not available was, the use of whole seed is interesting. So what are some of the benefits of using whole seed versus cut seed?
Well, I think the benefits mostly are, it's the major one is we're seeing an increased yield by at least 10%. And that 10% is probably on the modest side from the trials that I've actually been involved with Valley Farms. We're seeing probably closer to 15, but we're saying 10 because that seems to be the average. We can reduce the waste. We're very happy with how it can improve our plant stand. So we're getting more tubers in that desired plus minus 3 inches during planting. So that's giving us a more uniform stand. Plants are coming up, basically at the same time. We don't have the slivers or the weak seed pieces, the blind seed pieces, which are producing weak plants that are getting shaded by the more healthy plants. So that's obviously going to affect the uniformity of the crop in the end. So, yeah. Those are kind of the big ones that we see at this stage. So that's why we're very interested in looking at this further and increasing our whole seed acreages in the future.
Okay. Here's another question. When a grower is to purchase healthy seed, what are some of the things that a grower needs to be aware of when he's out choosing, you know, who to buy from? It starts with the seed grower, obviously. What then?
So this is, again, I think I mentioned it, but this is so important and often overlooked. I believe seed producers need to have complete confidence that the seed that they're buying is from growers that have proven track records of producing high-quality seed potatoes, but also using proper management practices as well. I think that on the seed side of things, management practices has really changed over the last couple of years. There's a lot more, you know, as far as disinfecting and those type of things, more spraying, insecticides are used more often. Oil sprays seem to be used a lot in our area. But buyers need to be able to visit the seed grower. I think that's very important, and not just once, but, you know, maybe look at the crop that they're going to be getting during the growing season. Visit it at harvest to see, you know, what is the size profile of that crop. You know, it doesn't hurt, again, to visit during the storage to see how the crop is storing, to make sure there's no issues in storage, there's no unexpected surprises. Because by the time the seed, if they're not paying attention and they get seed delivered and it's not actually what they were hoping for, whether it be quality or size profile, then it's often too late to do anything at that point. So again, be proactive and ask lots of questions.
Okay. I had a response from the fellow who asked about the nicking, and what he meant by that is making small cut to the seed piece to trigger wound healing. Do you have anything to add?
No, we don't do any of that for our whole seed that we use. I don't know if that's a common practice. It's not a common practice in this area as far as nicking the seed. So I don't have a whole lot of experience with that.
Okay, great.
Hi, this is Steve. I've just mm-hmm. come back from a sabbatical leave in Australia working mm-hmm. with the seed producing authority there, and they're mainly whole seed, round seed, and they strive not to nick them when they're planting. How about that?
Mm.
Because they're not looking for wound healing at that point. They're trying to treat them gently and get them in the ground.
Okay. And I don't have any other questions coming up now. So, Steve, do you have anything to wrap up on your presentation or on any of the topics we talked about today?
I'd echo what Sean says about asking questions of your seed grower, getting a relationship with them, and some important questions that need to be asked in today with some different virus and disease issues are, when were they planted and when were they vine killed? And some certainly with mop top virus and some others, the time of planting can be very critical, and the time of vine kill can be very critical as far as the late influx of aphids in Sean and my area.
Okay. And Sean, do you have anything to wrap up with today?
Just, I guess, a couple things. You know, my background is mostly seed. I've transitioned into more of a processing role now, but still fairly involved on the seed side for the seed that we get at the two farms that I'm responsible for. And I can't make it clear enough that the seed is the cornerstone and the foundation of a potato production. And without high seed quality, you're so limited during the growing season. You're not going to maximize your crop, and you know the end user is not going to be happy, and that might hurt the seed supplier down the road. So it's just, you know, ask lots of questions. Again, be proactive and try to make the best decisions that are going to maximize the yield and quality and the health of the seed crop.
Okay. Well, that's great. Thank you, guys. This was a very timely webinar, what with growers starting to look at planting some seed. So I'd like to thank both Steve and Sean for making time in their busy schedules today to share their insight and expertise, and I hope everyone listening has found the information valuable. Again, I'd like to pass on a big thank you to our sponsors, McCain and BASF, for their support. The presentation will be made available on spudsmart.com early next week. So if you missed it or had to leave or not missed it but couldn't hear it all, whatever, you can view it again on spudsmart.com next week. Thanks for your attention today, and on behalf of the team at SpudSmart, we hope you have a great rest of your day.